out of the creative story that really, as Ashley and Kristen talked about, was birthed out of relationship. Because God created the Garden of Eden and placed man in there for the purpose of relationship. Because we know that God walked with Adam in that place and they had fellowship together. It was all about relationship with God. And it was incredible until Adam fell into disobedience and walked away or hid from the relationship. So you know the story about how God came into the cool of the day and asked, Adam, where are you? Now you know God was not at a loss for where Adam was. He knew what tree. He knew exactly how Adam was crouched down. He saw Adam. But he didn't ask Adam where he was because he didn't know his location. He asked Adam where his voice was. What happened to your voice, Adam? Now, I want to show you this here in just a moment, but get that in your mind for a minute. God loves your voice. He loves hearing your voice. And he came to that garden for that relationship because he loved hearing Adam's words, Adam's voice. And they fellowshiped together. So as we look at that concept, I want to talk just for a few minutes today about establishing a relationship with God that is so powerful, that is so real, that it withstands anything this world could ever throw at us, okay? So I'm not going to keep you long, but Adam's rulership over the garden was in direct correlation to his submission to God's rule in his life. Let me say that one more time. Adam's rule or dominion over the garden was in direct correlation to his relationship or submission to that relationship with God in his life. Now, Jesus gives us an insight in this in Matthew 8, verses 8 and 9, where a centurion came to Jesus and said, look, Master, would you pray for my servant? Now, I don't need you to come to the house because I'm not worthy that you'd even come under my roof. But just speak the word. And the reason why he said that was because he said, I am also under authority. I say this to one and he goes. I say that to one and he does it. He said, so I know that if you speak the word, it'll be enough. Jesus remarked and said, I've not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Now notice the principle that's revealed in this story. It relates to Adam and God walking together. And to the degree that he is submitted to this relationship, he will then initiate control or dominion over his life. So as we are submitted to the lordship of Jesus, we walk in authority in every realm of our life. You follow what I'm saying? So Jesus then remarked about this centurion that he understood the principle of submission to the lordship or submission to authority, which releases him in operating in his authority. So with that in mind, Adam's assignment was to tend and keep the garden. But ultimately, and I want you to underscore this in your mind, ultimately to also have dominion beyond the borders of the garden. That was God's plan. Because he said, I want you to replenish the earth. I want you to have dominion over the earth. I want you to multiply, right? That's what he told him to do. So the garden was a utopia. It was a euphoric place. It was a place that God and Adam walked together. It is symbolic of your and my relationship personally with Jesus. And to the degree that he is the Lord over my life in that place will release me beyond the borders of that relationship to have dominion in every other facet of my life. You follow me? So he really wanted Adam to take this relationship beyond the borders of Eden and touch the four corners of the world. And that excites me because I believe that my relationship with God is so powerful. Your relationship with God is so powerful that no matter where you go in life, it will have to submit. You will have dominion over that situation because you are under the authority of lordship. Do you follow what I'm saying? That gives you such confidence to go into any circumstance in your life and know you're going to come out on top. So basically the principle is this. inside-outside relationship. Meaning if Jesus rules internally, we rule externally. Now this was accomplished by walking with God. Walking with God. Remember I mentioned Genesis 3 verse 8? If you can put it on the screen. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. And notice what the scripture says. In the cool of the day. Say that with me. In the cool of the day. Now the Bible inserts instruction or insight with purpose. So Adam walked with God. God came to walk with Adam. But he did it in the cool of the day. Now that tells me that God's visit to Adam was the first thing in the morning. It was at the break of dawn. It was at the beginning of an opportunity to once again demonstrate the authority and dominion and the power of God. And so God came to Adam. And I'm reminded of Psalm 5. I love this chapter. I love this psalm rather. It is so powerful. It's one of my early Christian verses that God touched me with. And that is that early in the morning, God, I will lift up my voice to you. I will let you hear my voice in the morning. So when I rise in the morning time, the first word that's going to come out of my mouth is a praise and a relationship with God. So Adam walked with God, heard the Lord walking in the garden, and he and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees. Now, if God's looking to hear his voice in the morning, according to Psalm 5, then their walk together had to do with expressions of faith. It's not necessarily going to church. See, we've got to redefine what true Christianity is. It's not because you have a mental assent to doctrine or that you have, for example, communion. A lot of people receive communion because they see it's the cup and they see it's the bread, but they don't know the Christ in the cup and the Christ in the communion. They'll receive communion, but it's apart from relationship about what that blood and what that bread represents and who it's all about and what did it initiate. So God came to the garden in the cool of the day to hear the voice of Adam and Eve, but they were hiding. Now God says, where are you, Adam? Where's your voice? Where's our relationship? Now in July, T and I will be married 43 years. And I want you to know that if I went one day without speaking to her, or, you know, one week without speaking with her, how many know that we would have some serious issues? Yeah, we would. So the point being that God's saying, I want to hear your voice. Your voice and my voice is what connects the relationship. So you and I, when we talk about prayer or confession or speaking the word of God or making declarations or acknowledging God in our life, it is servicing that relationship. When we fail to engage in that kind of conversation with God, we are hiding from Him Himself, or hiding from the relationship. And I believe that the majority of believers today are hiding from God, not because they don't want to have a relationship with God, but they've allowed things to separate them from God. All right? So you and I are going to have to get out from behind the bush, and we're going to have to begin to reconnect with God. Why? Because to the degree of our submission and our relationship with Him will determine our dominion outside the borders of that relationship. So it doesn't matter. See, if I have this intimacy and I'm submitted in my relationship with Him internally, no matter what I'm going to face tomorrow, no matter what comes my way that challenges the God in my life, I have complete confidence because I'm under authority. I know that I can operate in authority. That's the principle that we found in Matthew 8. And Jesus was just amazed over this centurion's understanding. He said all of Israel didn't get that truth. I believe that this truth initiated in our lives in this last day is going to cause the church to have dominion in realms where we have been confused in the past. Now, I don't think that there's anything wrong with getting counseling. But if you're relying on psychologists and psychiatrists to somehow get you freedom in your life and somehow bring healing emotionally to your past, okay, they can help to a degree. But how about this? If you got into this relationship internally with the submission to lordship of Jesus in your life in every area, I believe that no matter what it is, rejection, no matter whether it is depression, no matter what it is that you have a lack in, poverty, or sickness in your body, it doesn't really matter, because when I take that relationship outside into that realm that God has called me to have dominion in, it has to bow its knee. It has to submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Right there is a good place to praise Him. I don't know about you, but come on, give Him 30 seconds of praise. Come on, lift up your voice, lift up your hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you give me dominion in every realm of my life. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that you give me dominion. Now, see, church, the idea is to walk the walk. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've met a lot of Christians who talk the walk, but don't walk the walk. To walk the walk means that I have learned the pathway of submission to lordship. And with every step in my life, I initiate that lordship. So no matter what I engage in, my first thought is my relationship with God. So to walk the walk literally means this: to show that something is true or real through my actions. To walk the walk is to demonstrate that this thing is real. And not only is it real, it's true. And I'm going to show you by the way I live that Jesus is Lord of my life. Look, this world is overdosed on fake Christianity. Hollywood faith. Come on, I'm not saying it's all bad, but PTL faith. Come on, I'm not saying it's all bad, but TBN faith. Come on, I'm not saying it's all bad, but the big blow in, blow up, and blow out evangelists. Come on, I'm not saying it's all bad, but this world is saying, you know what, show me the real deal. Walk the walk. Just don't just talk the walk, walk the walk. They want to see by our actions and by our words that we are demonstrating that we come from a place called the Garden of Eden, where I got up this morning and I walked with God. I got up this morning and I talked to Him and He talked to me. And we are now operating out of that relationship. And I have complete confidence in God that this thing will bow at the name of Jesus. Listen to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 19. The Bible says, I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. So if you're going to walk with God, you have to learn to pave the path with the statutes of God. So I realize now that a walk with God is not necessarily a mental ascent about God, to say I believe in God, to come to a church, or to go through all kinds of Christian antics, or use all kinds of declarative statements that other Christians use, learn Christianese, speak it forward and backward, you know, just act out all Christian and everything. That's not really a proponent of lordship. What lordship is to walk in statutes of God. In other words, I take the word of God and I lay it down as pavers, and I learn to take every step based upon His law. Not my law, but His law, His word. And His statutes is what I learn to walk upon. He said that in Ezekiel 20 and verse 19. But look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. See, to walk with God is to determine your direction in life out of His word. So my direction in life is based on the paver of my pathway, which had its origin in God's word. So I realize that I'm not getting off the path. I'm going to walk the path. It's going to determine the direction that I take each day of my life. And 2 Corinthians 5:17, do you know what it says? It says we walk by how? And not by. So if we walk by faith, it tells us then, it's not just to believe by declaring, it is actually the direction I'm taking in my life. The direction I'm taking in my life is as a result of walking by faith, because I come from the paver of His statutes. I'm not deviating. I'm not getting off the path. I'm going to walk on the Word of God. I have submitted myself to His lordship. And now outside the borders and boundaries of my personal relationship with God, I'm about to have dominion. So whether or not you're a young person like Priscilla, getting ready to go to Athens, Ohio, leave her family, go into college and discover a whole new world for her, out of that personal relationship with the Lordship of Jesus Christ, she's already predetermined the direction of her path. She walks in the statutes of God's word. She has paved her path with a direction that's been predetermined. So it matters not what gets on the path, because whatever gets on the path that tries to block or to prohibit her advance in the very will of God has to bow at the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because God's called her to have dominion. You follow what I'm saying? So if it's true for her, it's true for you, it's true for me, and we can have complete confidence that we can take the glory of the Lord and cover the earth with God's manifest presence. What about Galatians 5, verse 16? What does it read? Walk in the Spirit and you will what? Not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It didn't say the lust of the flesh won't have as great effect on you. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't have as much problems with the flesh. It doesn't say that. It says, if you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh will have no power over you. You say, well, now come on, Pastor, let's be real. Let's be real. We're men in here. We all have our issues. Look, I understand all that. But I want you to know, too, that there is a place in relationship with God where you can be far above all principality and power. You could be far above and not allow the lust of the flesh impact you, even though you may you see it, feel it. It may even have a tug on you. But because you got up and predetermined your pathway with the pavers of God's word, my footstep does not take me to the house that is going to bring destruction, but it leads me in the pathway of wisdom. I may have to walk by the house, but I'm walking by. Do you follow what I'm saying? See, I believe that in this last day, hundreds of millions of believers are going to fall away. Now, I hate to say that, but that's what the Bible says, that they're going to walk away from the faith. And you know, a lot of the reason why is because after you've been serving God a while, you think you don't need your jet engines anymore. You think you could fly the plane at 35,000 feet without thrust. Let me talk to you about it. You see, the law of spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. The question has to be that in the law of aerodynamics, when I have overcome gravity and I'm ascending to 35,000 feet, does the law of gravity still exist? Yes or no? Yes, it does. But because the law of aerodynamics overcomes and overpowers the law of gravity, I can suspend a 1,000,000-pound plane at 35,000 feet and cruise. So the law of sin and death, is the law of sin and death nullified just because the law of the spirit of life is in Christ Jesus? No, the law of sin and death is still a reality. But it can't touch me. It doesn't have any impact on me because I'm far above all principality power. I'm far above that impact or that law of the spirit of death. However, if at 40 years as a pilot, I've flown 35,000 feet so many times, I'm thinking that I can do this without my engines. So I decide to turn them off. Let me ask a question. How long will the law of gravity be defeated? How long will the law of gravity be defeated? It's only a matter of time between you and the ground create a new reality for your future. And let me tell you, that was your future. Because after that, I doubt that you'll have another day. But there are a lot of Christians who have put it on cruise control. And the law of aerodynamics is the motion of air over a body. So there has to be the motion of air to create the lift and the thrust working together to overcome the drag and the gravity which causes us to fly like a bird. So as long as I got my motor running, long as I got my motor running, long as I got the thrust, as long as I'm overcoming the drag of the flesh, as long as I've got up this morning and God heard my voice and I'm in relationship with Him, listen, there is no weapon formed against me. There is no law of sin or death that can pull me down. And I've already determined that I'm not about to shut the engines off. This isn't a day when you don't pray. This is a day when you pray more. This isn't a day when you don't speak the word. This is a day when you learn how to speak the word more. It's not a day where you say, well, I'm not going to read my Bible today. No, no, no. This is a day where you say, before I do anything, when I rise in the morning, I'm going to get in the face of God. He's going to hear my voice and I'm going to hear His voice. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God. The voice of triumph. Come on. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on, let's give God one shout. Woo! All right, here's a crazy verse. You ready for a crazy verse? Genesis 5:24. Genesis 5:24, it's a little insertion in the Bible. It's not a whole lot, but it says a lot. Here's what it reads. If you can put it up, let's read it together. Ready? Read. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, when I read that, God messed me up. I read it, and it said, put it back up, please. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. And I had to ask the question, why not? Okay, then I said, and he was not. Not what? And the Lord began to speak to me. Because he walked with God, he was not conformed to this world. Because he walked with God, he was not controlled by this world. Because he walked with God, he was not condemned with this world. Now watch. If you walk with God, you will not be conformed to this world. Now what we have in a challenge in the church today is an identity crisis. We think we live life like the heathen. We think God's not big enough, strong enough, mighty enough to do for us what he says in his word. So we have to kind of water the message down, lower down the expectation, and say we're not really sure that God heals all the time. We sometimes God doesn't, and sometimes God uses it to punish people. And, you know, God's sovereign, and we'd like to explain away everything. But let me tell you something. There is a people that is being raised up in this hour who are walking on the pavers of God's statutes, who've already predetermined the direction of their life because they heard God's voice this morning, and he heard my voice this morning, and I have complete confidence that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, be above and beyond anything that I could ever ask. I got up this morning feeling real good about my day. Feeling real good about my day. Even with the traffic jam over there on 90, I still felt good about my day. I said, it's all good. Because God knows where I'm at. He knows what's happening. It doesn't matter what they might do around me. I know this, and I'm not going to conform to an attitude that is a person or a place or a thing that is out of fellowship with God. I don't care if there's 1,000 of my friends that determine that they're going to go with the world. My mother used to say it this way. If your friends jump in the lake, are you going to jump too? How many's mother ever said that to you? My Lord, we're all related. I used to say, yeah, because they're my friends. My mother said, you're dumber than what you look. The point being, just because the world's going that way doesn't mean we have to go that way. We're cut from a different cloth. I come from a different place. So Enoch walked with God, and he was not conformed to this world. Neither was he controlled by this world. Controlled by this world. Now, I just have to tell you, you can get in my face. You can yell at me, cuss me out. You could spit in my face and you could smack me in the face, and I'm going to give you the other cheek on a good day. On a bad day, you might get smacked. Just letting you know. I'm spiritual, but I ain't that spiritual. There are days I might just cold cock it right there. So don't take any chances. Is he spiritual today or is he not spiritual? I'll be like, brother, I'm going to pray for you. Boom! Seriously, I'm not going to let people, places, or things control me. I've got one controller. It's called the Holy Spirit. I've got one Lord. His name is Jesus. So how am I going to let this person who I don't even know drive on the same highway and go in the same direction I'm going and control my temperament? Of course, that never happens to any of you. Happens to me on occasion. But Enoch walked with God, and Enoch was not controlled by the world, was not conformed to this world. Number three, Enoch was not condemned with this world. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know, you've got to stop allowing the devil to bring condemnation to your life. You say, yeah, Pastor, but I did this and I feel bad about it. Okay, repent of it, go on. Because as far as the east is from the west, it's already forgotten. And God's saying, would you please forget that? We keep coming back to God. God, you know, this thing I did yesterday. He goes, what's that? You know, that thing yesterday. What thing? That's already forgotten. As far as the east is from the west, it's over because you repented. I say, okay, God, there's no condemnation. There's no condemning to those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, this world is going to be judged, ultimately. The Bible talks about a white throne judgment. The Bible talks about God's going to judge the living and the dead. But let me tell you something. I'm walking through life with no judgment. I'm walking through life with no condemnation. I'm walking through life, and you can't control me. Give me a dirty look. I don't care about your dirty look. I'm leaving your church. I was like, have a good life, you know. Whatever. Say, well, I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the way you dress either. No, I wouldn't say that. Because see, what you did is you just controlled me. So I can't respond to you. I just have to say, bless them, Lord. My sanctified self blesses them. So I realize that when you walk with God, your life changes. There's no control of the world. There's no conforming to the world. And there's no condemnation with the world. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right, Enoch had an inner communion with God that was conscious of his presence 24/7. Now, what you and I have to do is expand the borders of our relationship. Expand the borders of our relationship. Your intimacy with God is to be released into a chaotic world, into a rebellious world. So they need to see demonstrated the Lordship of Christ. And the way they see that is through my submission to him. So I understand now that my walk with God determines the impact I have on a fallen world. See, my life is important because there's a whole generation that's looking at it and saying, this is a bunch of baloney. It doesn't work. There's as much alcoholism in the church as out of the church. Adultery in the church as out of the church. Incest in the church as out of the church. I mean, you name it. Then the statistics are the same. But let me tell you something. We have turned a corner. God's raising up a people. They're saying, you know what? I'm going to walk with God. And because I'm going to walk with God, I'm not going to be controlled by the world. I'm not going to be conformed to the world. And I'm sure not going to be condemned with the world. God set me apart with authority to take dominion over situations. You know, it's almost scary when you begin to understand who you are in Christ and understand that you come out of a relationship of intimacy with God and you go into a chaotic, rebellious world. It's almost scary. You're thinking, God will take care of this. I mean, you come so childlike. You walk in and go, oh, what did the doctor say? Well, you're going to die tomorrow. Well, I don't think you're going to die tomorrow. Let's believe God. Let's pray and believe that God will heal you. Well, I don't know if I can. I said, well, if you can't, I do. I believe it. See, we have to get to a point where we almost expect God to do everything he says. Did you hear what I said? We come to a point where we almost believe God's going to do everything he said. Okay. We got to come to a place where we believe God's going to do everything he said, right? Everything he said. And so often the challenge of that is, yeah, okay, you believed and it didn't happen. So what went wrong? Look, that's not my department. I am not the what went wrong department. I'm the believe God at his word department. So if you want to consult what went wrong with God department, you're going to have to go somewhere else. Where is that? You have to go to God himself because he runs that department. I don't run that department. I've been called to run this department. You follow what I'm saying? So you understand it's a 24/7 consciousness about the presence of God. God's presence in our life 24/7. And that's really what this Hunger Conference is all about. It is establishing an ability to connect with the presence of God no matter where, when, or what you're going through, how you're going through it, and to know that that is your strength. That is the direction that determines the determining direction in your life, that you realize that God is going to do this. Because, you see, we possess what we have the capacity to manage. Let me say this again. We possess what we have the capacity to manage. Let me break that down for you. We possess increase, okay? We possess what we have the capacity to manage. If I need increase, I'm going to possess increase based on my capacity to manage increase. If I want a good marriage, then I have to have the capacity of a good marriage. I have to be able to manage a good marriage. Manage means be a steward over or to be responsible for. So now I understand, I know how to be a good steward or be responsible for poverty. I know how to bring poverty into abundance. How do I do that? I manage it. How do you manage it? Oh, not according to my household. I just work for the king. I'm a steward. I'm an under-shepherd. I just speak over poverty what he says. I just bring the declaration of he who has all authority into poverty. And poverty, because I have the capacity to manage it, because I take his ability and I speak it to it, then I know it has to come out of poverty. It has to come out of lack. It has to come out of depression. It has to come out of a sense of rejection. It has to come out of the yuck, because God is good all the time, right? So you understand now it's based out of my relationship with him. So we have a possess, we have the ability to possess what we have the capacity to manage. So the deeper the relationship or rulership of God in my life, the greater the effectiveness and dominion in my life. The greater the effectiveness and dominion in my life. So I have to understand that a real fresh on my mind illustration is when I pulled into the church on the west today, a car was in the front yard and the wheels were buried in the mud. And I pulled in and I said, wow, I wonder whose car that is. Somebody made a bad choice, bad mistake. And I pulled in and went out. And I found out later it was somebody I knew. And I walked up to him and I said, oh, is that your car? And when I said that, they started crying. I went, oh, I'm sorry. I had to walk away because I'm like, but afterwards, I sent somebody to pull that car out of the mud. And I said, when you pull it out, stay on the concrete apron and pull it. I'll take care of it. No problem. All right. Next thing I know, Pastor, we just want to let you know, not only is the car in there, but the guy you sent to pull her out is also stuck. And we have to call AAA. I said, praise the Lord. So we used our AAA card. Didn't cost a dollar. Nothing. All except for needs a car wash on the truck and a car wash on the other car. And the point being was, I'm so sorry. It's like, why? Don't sweat the small stuff. That is so easy. Are you kidding? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Say, yeah, you say that, but there's a car stuck. But what if somebody was in ICU? What if somebody just lost their job? What if somebody's cat just got run over? I don't know why I use that. But I love cats. By faith, I love cats. But I'm just saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And this is small stuff. And you know what they say about small stuff? Don't sweat the small stuff. How many of you are glad this morning that you got up, put shoe leather on, pulled up your clothing, got into your car or bus or bicycle or whatever it took to get here, had something to eat, going to go back to a house, had a bed to sleep in, and here we are worried about a little mud on the tire. Are you serious? You see, we understand something. We've been invited into a place with God called impossibility. The Bible says all things are possible to him who believes. God said, I want you to come and live with me in the land of impossibilities. So it's all about God's presence. So I need to rule the way he rules. How does God rule? He rules in generosity. He rules in kindness. He rules in love. He rules in giving. He rules in forgiveness, forbearance, putting others first, esteeming each other's needs more important than my own. That's how God lives. So guess what? I'm called to do that. I'm called to operate the very same way. It's like, wow, this is amazing, God. How do I do that? You submit to my lordship, and that will be easy for you. Because as you're submitted to me, you're able to overcome and have dominion over that cranky attitude of yours. I said, God, even my mother couldn't beat that cranky attitude out of me. I went through school and picking fights and people beating up and picking on me, and I'm still mad. You know how many people are incarcerated today who are angry because their fathers left them? The real issue isn't that they love crime. It's because nobody loved them. But you know, Jesus in the heart, submission to lordship will overcome that bitterness and that hatred, and they'll suddenly be set free from all of that mess because they've learned to submit to the lordship of Jesus. You might be sitting here today with issues that you could not overcome, things that tend to hold on to you, anger or issues, or maybe you've got a propensity to swear. You know, it's funny, when I'm around some Christians, they forget I'm there and they go... And then they look over at me and they say, I'm sorry. I said, don't say I'm sorry to me. Talk to the man. I mean, I'm nobody, you know. Oh, sorry, preacher. No, you just say, sorry, Jesus. But the point being is, God can help you overcome that. God can help you overcome every negative thought. God can help you overcome every area of your life where you were under dominion. How? By submitting to his lordship. Because when you're under authority, you operate in authority. Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, don't just come into under authority of spiritual leaders. I mean, you should respect authority, but don't say, well, I'm submitted to my pastor. You know, that's a good thing, but I ain't all that in a bag of chips. What you ought to do is get submitted to his lordship, right? You really need to go beyond just churchianity and get connected to a relationship with Jesus. I'm about ready to close, so we're doing pretty good, aren't we? Yeah, it's not too bad. All right. So the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Here's my persuasion, that the glory of the Lord is a manifest presence of God, God's attributes, his person. It's going to cover the earth. And I believe it's going to happen. And how's it going to happen? Through you and me. We're the outlets. We're the conduits. And as we're submitted to his lordship, the glory of the Lord shines through us. And it's just awesome the way we see that in Mount of Transfiguration. I can hardly wait to preach that message. It's going to be awesome. But the glory of the Lord shone through Jesus and demonstrated that he is the Godhead bodily. And just what an example for us to walk in. But the glory of the Lord manifests and will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And I'm so anxious to go to church with a bunch of glorified saints. Aren't you? Isn't that what Jesus came to do, is glorify us? Amen? So we're going to see this impact. Now let me close with two gardens. Did I say I'm going to close yet? Okay, this is my first and last closing. Anyway, the first garden was Adam and Eve, and they took for granted the presence of God. Took for granted the presence of God. You know, to walk by faith is to do what pleases God. You know, I know what pleases Tina, so I try to do it. And there's times I know what pleases her, and I don't do it because I'm feeling ornery. Do you ever do that? Don't admit it. Do you ever do something and say, well, I'm just not going to do that. They don't deserve that. And God's saying, whoa, look at you. You're like being God here, huh? You are judging. But I do things to please her. And that's really what this walk with God is. You do what pleases him. So whatever you know, what pleases him? His word. His word is what pleases him. So when you walk in that direction of the word, it pleases him. But in the first garden, they took it for granted. God came every day and they walked together, they talked together, they had a voice communication, they had the presence. Adam was submitted to the lordship of Jesus until the serpent entered the garden and took dominion over Adam. And Adam was to go out of the garden and take dominion over him. But the serpent came in and took dominion over Adam, right? So they took advantage, they took it for granted and lost that intimacy. They lost that intimacy. Now, how about the second garden in the Bible? The last garden we read about in the Bible is in the resurrection, remember? Now, I'm going to put a disclaimer out. I don't believe in Easter. I don't use the word Easter. When people say happy Easter, I say happy what?
Resurrection.
Happy resurrection. I don't use the word Easter because it's a pagan term. It's a heathen term. It's just my preference. I don't believe in Easter bunnies and fertility and all that stuff. It's the new life of Jesus, okay? But I just printed up some signs that say, join us for Easter service. You say, well, Pastor, why are you using the word Easter? I'm just telling you now, disclaimer, I'm not inviting you. I'm inviting all the heathen who don't know what resurrection is. Okay? So if you see me with a print that says, join us for Easter services, don't go, well, that preacher, he says one thing and does another. No, it's not for you. Don't read it. So on the resurrection day, Mary sees Jesus in the garden. She goes, "Oh, Lord! Oh, Lord!" And she clung to him. Now, I don't think she just held his hand. I think she wrapped her legs around him, put her arms around his neck, and said, and Jesus was trying to walk away, and Mary's on her like, "Get off me, woman! I haven't ascended to heaven yet." I think she just clung to him, right? And he said, "I need to go to heaven." But notice the first garden took him for granted. The second garden understood that without him, we can do nothing. And we need to restore the concept of the second garden. Okay, I'm almost done now. But the whole concept of clinging to Jesus, clinging to him. And friends, I want to invite you to another level of relationship with him. And just let God draw you into that personal relationship where your whole direction of life is based out of your submission to his lordship. You've paved your pathway with the pavers of his statutes. And you will not get off that path. You follow the word as if it's each step of your life. You're like, "Yea, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, amen." And if somebody slips something in there that's not of the right paver, you're like, skip over that. And you go to the next one because you're not about to walk without God. So Enoch walked with God and was not. Was not what? Conformed to this world, controlled by this world, or condemned with this world. And God took him. I said, "God, I want you to take me. I want you to take me. Take all of me, God. Take me. Just let me be with you. I just want to walk with you. I want to live in this world, but I'm not of this world. I understand that I'm an alien. I'm a foreigner. I have invaded this planet with your message. And your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Isn't that good? Now let me ask a question. Maybe you came today and all you've known is churchianity. You've really not known Christianity. You've really not known a relationship with God like that. All you've done is had mental assent. Or maybe you've fulfilled somebody's ordinances or rules or regulations. Or maybe you've gone to church thinking that coming to church will change you. Look, what you really need is a personal relationship with Jesus. And learn to fellowship with him. You talk with him. You exchange the heartbeat of God. You believe him at his word. And you just have fellowship 24/7. That's really what we're talking about here. Now, we get to go to church and connect with others. Listen, I am so thankful to see you and to be with you, because that's what it's all about, celebrating God's love and celebrating one another. This morning in the first service, a guy came in. He's probably around 45 years old, nice-looking guy. And he had a sport coat on, looked all nice, dressed. And I saw him in the foyer, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He goes, "You remember me?" I said, "No. But he had come to one of our men's deals, and he visited. And he told me, "My name's Mike." And I said, "Mike, great." I said, "Is there anything I can get for you? Do you need anything?" He goes, "Man," he said, "I walked in this church." He said, "I feel like I'm a rock star or something, man. Everybody's saying hi to me and welcoming me. This is like amazing." I said, "Well, celebrating God's love, celebrating one another. If you can't come here and connect with God's love, then let's turn this into the biggest bar in Valley View and go out in a flame of fire." I mean, what's the point? What's the point of having church if people don't come in and come face to face with God's love? If they can't come in face to face with God's love, I'm out, right? So that's a birth out of a relationship with him. So you're here today, bow your head with me. You say, "Preacher, I need Jesus as my Savior." You say, "Well, how do I do that?" Well, the Bible says, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You say, "Well, what is that?" You ask Jesus to save you. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. Ask Jesus to come into your life. And you promise from this day forward to walk with him, talk with him, and be intimate with him, and make covenant with him, and follow the pavers of his statutes, and don't deviate to the right or to the left. And you say, "From this day on, I'm going to serve God." And if that's your prayer, you're sitting here and you want a fresh start with God, I'm going to count to three. And if you want that prayer, I just want you to raise your hand, put it back down right after that. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. If that's you, just hold it up and then put it right back down. I'm looking for hands. Thanks. Over there. Anybody else? Okay. Over there. God bless you. Then over there. Thank you. All right. You can put them all down. Everybody look up at me. Now, here's what we're going to do at the end of the service. I'm just going to have people stand up here. They're going to pray with you if you want that prayer. But maybe you came today and you still need a touch from God. You know, God loves you, man. He really does. He's not playing. He's like really serious about his love. And He wants to intimately touch you in your deepest point of need. So let us pray with you. Let us believe God with you. Also, God wants to speak to you. Do you know that God still speaks today? Sure He does. He speaks to us many times through other people who operate in the gifts of the Spirit, one of them called prophecy. Also, words of knowledge, or discerning of spirits, or words of wisdom. That's God uses those. So the Lord can speak to you in this moment of prayer and connecting with people who are connecting with God to help bring you into another level and relationship with Him. Isn't that awesome? That's powerful that God would visit us right here at 7635, wherever we are, Granger Road, right here. God will come right here and He'll talk with you because He has a great plan for your life and He loves you so much, okay? So we're going to stand. I'm going to ask altar ministers to come at this point. So everybody, let's just stand. And I'm going to ask you as well, happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday
to me. Happy birthday, dear pastor. Give me your presence Thursday night at 7, Friday morning at 10, Friday night at 7. Let's see what God will do at this region, okay? We're coming together with other churches. Bethel Church will be here. About 4 other churches will be here. Come early. It's going to be packed. I mean, from wall to wall, it's going to be packed. But it's going to be awesome. The worship's going to go like to another level. And God's going to release His faith and His word and through our lives. So let's just believe for miracles, signs, and wonders. But most importantly, for a body of Christ that raises up into another place with Him, okay? That's what I'm believing God for. I hope that you will join us. There's no service Wednesday night. We'll be in Lorraine campus for the Bethel Music Concert. That is a ticketed event. The rest of them are free. So get online. I think there's some seats left, but I don't know for sure. So if you raise your hand, would you do me a favor before you go out the door? Would you come this way? Let us pray with you. Let's believe God for you. So look over at somebody with a big smile on your face and say, look, you need that prayer. I'll go with you. Sometimes it's better if somebody takes you by the hand and walks with you. Would you look over to your right? Look over to your left. Say, look, I'll go with you because I know that that's not easy. But I know God has a great plan for your life. And just bring them. And let's believe God that He's going to do some great things here in your life. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord. I always like to close the service with us responding to His presence in worship. So can we take 120 seconds and just lift our voices to God before we run out the door? Let's do that. Go ahead, guys. Let's do that. Come on, lift up your hands. Close your eyes. Let's give God praise in this room. Thank you, Lord. Seal it in our hearts, God. Seal it in our hearts, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. And I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, God, trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I lean on all my own understanding.
Respond to the Holy Spirit.
My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven. I lean not on my own understanding. My life is in the hands of the Maker of heaven.
I give it all.
I give it all to you, God. Trusting that you'll make something beautiful out of me. I give it all to you, God. Trusting.
in with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands wide open. I will climb this mountain with my hands.
It's nothing I hold on to.
It's nothing. Nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to. There's nothing I hold on to.
Before you go, our ushers are going to be at the door. If you have a spring seed offering, God bless you. Thank you. And we want to make up that 12K deficit. So whatever God tells you, you can give on the way out. But live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We're going to see you on Thursday night. Wednesday night, some of you will be at the concert. Thursday night at 7, Friday morning at 10, Friday night at 7. Look over at somebody and say, God loves you, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.